Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Paul Harmon. I'm the pastor of Hope Chapel. I want to welcome those who are watching as well, live stream. We're hoping that you'll get your Bibles in hand and a bulletin as well. We're going to get to the message in just a moment. I want to just thank you, dear church and dear church council. Thank you for recognizing my birthday. It really is. It is Wednesday, but it's always nice. I'm impressed that the years mount so quickly. When I came here, I was a young 44 years of age. 17 years later, I've earned every stripe for this eldership. I just want to know, and honored. I'm so honored to be a part of Hope Chapel, and it's just a thrill to be here. It really is. To be here in this beautiful city, be here in this wonderful congregation. The history here is rich, really rich. And matter of fact, I just want to highlight, if you are relatively new, when I say new, maybe you've just joined the church this last January, or you're relatively new, even 6 months going, after this service at 12:30, we have a meet and greet in the prayer room. So we just want to invite all of you, maybe you're watching via live stream and you've never really kind of come down, come on down, 12:30, 45 minutes, we have a light lunch. We want to introduce the pastors. We want to meet you a little bit better. We'll be giving you a tour of the facility. We'll even bring you into the inner sanctum of my office. It's dusted. Please come. And we're excited. We really are excited to just be on display in every way. Wonderful things happen here at Hope Chapel. One of the things that I want to just highlight as well, the Iflins, whom we love and we've just cherished since their arrival at the beginning of November. One of the things that we determined that they'd be 2 months back in Hawaii to do one of their programs for Surfing the Nation. So May 1st till the beginning of July, they'll be there for 2 months. But we wanted to make you aware that maybe next summer they'll bring that same program here and really launch something stupendous with Surfing the Nations. In the meantime, I want to just recognize we have a young lady that's stepping into the assistant Kidman director, and that is Kelly Marvin. Kelly, would you just wave your hand back there? Kelly is stepping into that role, and we're and rightfully so. She's in that training mode these next 2 weeks and steps into that full responsibility for 2 months on May 1st. So we'll be bringing her up a little bit later during this month and praying for her. So I want to just enjoy this element of this week of Easter. We call it Holy Week, but it's Palm Sunday. Our message today really helps just stimulate that awareness that we are coming into a great weekend called the resurrection of Christ, the memorization and the reminder of what he's done for us. This particular day, as you see on the back of your bulletin, it's the culture of Christ. We're looking at the cross today, and I want to just highlight, because not only is today Palm Sunday, but we want to encourage you that you would consider even what's happening here at Hope Chapel this coming week. We have Good Friday. Would you consider coming 7 to 8? It's a one-hour service. We've got seven great speakers that'll be addressing the seven last sayings of Christ on the cross. Nothing enhances my Easter weekend like a good Good Friday service. So we'll be having that here. Also, on Saturday afternoon at 4:30, we have our family slash Easter candy hunt. It is a family-oriented direction. We want to encourage you, dear families, especially with your children, right here at Hope Chapel. A dinner will be provided, but we're going to power up your children with a lot of sweets. We are going to see what that looks like on Saturday so that you have a more tranquil, peaceful Sunday. How's that? Is that all right? And then naturally, Easter Sunday morning, it's a sunrise service. Sunrise service at the pier. At 6:15, we really have the city turning on our electricity. We want to encourage you, would you consider being there and being here as well? We have two services following at 9 and 11. Make sure you get a chance, if you can, highlight the sunrise service, because you'll find there are not only cards that are out there about just directing people here to Hope Chapel with our services, but some people will never come into a church. They'll view maybe a church building like they would some form of other just weird building that they're concerned or frightened of, but they know they want God. But if you'll invite them or encourage them or maybe the sunrise service. They've tapped me to be the speaker. I know you've been praying for me. I sent your prayers. So we are excited about the sunrise service. What really excites me is not only the amount of people that are just really kind of looking for a direction with God, but we have 10 churches that are putting that together. And I'll tell you, just in case you ever have somebody say, man, you know why just this Christianity stuff doesn't work, so churches don't get together. They are in Huntington Beach. They are in Huntington Beach. And I'm telling you, on this birthday, I'm very excited with what's happening in our community. And we are doing a number of things with other churches because we recognize we cannot do the work of the kingdom in an isolated, individualistic mindset. So Easter Sunday is going to be fantastic. I'm talking it up because I'm just so thrilled with what I see with my colleagues, what I see what God's doing in other churches. There's a move of God in our city, and I'm thrilled about that. Come on back then for this services. We're going to have a highlight in between services as well, Easter Sunday. We'll have a bounce house, and we're going to make sure it doesn't look quite the same out there. It's going to be a very festive setting, but the message of Jesus is going to be clear, crisp, and easily acceptable, and we're thrilled about that. So be praying for us, would you please, and invite somebody to Hope Chapel. I think you're here. That's why we would encourage you to invite people back here. Since you're here, we're glad about that. And let's see what God will do. Amen? Let's see what God will do. Well, let's check it out and see what God's going to do for you and me right now as we take a look, because this is Palm Sunday. Father, we just, once again, just ask you, Lord, speak to our hearts. There's going to be some that are just needing something of a reminder, but more importantly, something from your spirit that just draws us closer to you forevermore. Let that be the case today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're highlighting the cross. We're highlighting the culture around the cross. You can see in your notes, it's John chapter 12 where I'm at. I encourage you to find in the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We're looking at John chapter 12. It's interesting when we take a look at the cross because some individuals still consider the cross as a religious symbol or the cross as a symbol of suffering. And why would we want to talk about something where somebody shed a lot of blood and was tortured? It's kind of like putting a little bit of an electric chair around your chain. Why would I want to have an electric chair on my chain? But there's something that's so profound, and people don't understand. I still remember the time when a young man came to me and said, you know, I was digging in my backyard, and I found this. It was a crucifix, you know, with the little body still on there. And he says, you know, how do you work one of these things? Kind of like some form of a charm. And so today we get a chance to take a look at the cross. We need to be reminded of what Jesus has done for us. It's important for us because 2,000 years ago, we're taking a look at something that is so significant, it impacted the early church. Matter of fact, if you had them talk at all, they were always talking about the crucifixion. They were always talking about the cross. The Apostle Paul was well noted for that. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says, for me, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. He went in other places of the scriptures. In Galatians 6, verse 14, he says, but God forbid that I should boast in anything except the cross of Christ, our Lord. He came along as well, and in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, he said, I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's a big deal. I mean, it really is a big deal. I like the fact that you and I get to focus on it today because we can maybe really miss what it's all about and just think church is where it's at. Man, it's the cross. It's the center point. If you were with us last Sunday, you can even take a look at and revisit the Jesus exchange and what you and I receive because of Jesus suffering on the cross. We receive all the good coming to him. But the cross is a big emphasis for Christians. It's the baptism in water that highlights our symbolism of crucifixion with Christ, the burial, Romans 6:6 says. And then we have just communion. And communion in 1 Corinthians, it talks about whenever you eat this communion, you show the Lord's death till he comes. So it's important for us. It's a highlight for us, and we're really highlighting it today. The culture around the cross. So here we are, John 12. We're going to retrace just a little bit because it's Jesus now, as John's writing his book. The first 10 chapters are dealing with the whole 33 years of Jesus' life. And then the latter part of John's gospel, it's the final week, the final hour. So what do you think God wants you to know? Man, it's all about the cross. And here in John chapter 12, we have Jesus. He's leaving Bethany. What happened there? He just resurrected Lazarus from the grave. Man, it's a big deal. Such a big deal that now it's called Passover. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. He's coming from Bethany. He's coming from the east. He's coming over the rise of what's called the Mount of Olives. We were there. If you were with us in Israel, we were there. And as he comes over the rise, his disciples meet him with a colt, a donkey. They put him on it. People are coming behind Jesus. People are coming out of the Golden Gate to meet Jesus. They heard he's coming in. And they're looking for him because of the resurrection of Lazarus. And they are looking for Lazarus. It's a big deal. And they know that something is going on with Jesus, where they start to shout out, as we declared today, Hosanna, God save. Here he comes. Here he comes. And so it's a big happening. You can see here in those first verses how it was a description. People were gathered because of what happened at Bethany and what they knew about Jesus. Matter of fact, in verse 23, just to highlight there, Jesus answered them saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." When the crowd heard that, they were ignited because they said, finally, the Messiah is going to release us from the tyranny of Rome. We always knew that the Messiah would give us victory over our captors. That's what they're thinking. The hour has come. Son of Man's going to be glorified. Yeah. But they saw and heard something different. That's what we're going to take a look at here. Some elements of the cross. Our first point, the cross and Christ. Let's look at verse 27. Let's pick up where I've asked you to turn. Verse 27, Jesus says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus said, answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake." Now, it's interesting to note here, when we talk about the cross and Christ, his relationship to the cross, number of things. Letter A, the pain, or the pain of the cross. Let's look for a moment here, because in verse 27, can you see his first line? "Now my soul is troubled." Now, interesting, because that word trouble literally in the Greek is to sorrow, and it's an area where that same word, the troubling, remember the pool of Bethesda when Jesus is in John 5? And you see the lame man by the pool, and he said, "Why are you here?" He said, "Well, when the waters are troubled, nobody's here to lift me and put me in the water. I just sit." That same word is used here. Jesus says, "Now my soul is troubled, agitated, stirred up. I'm extremely, extremely mentally in anguish," is another way he's saying that. You know what I like about John and his writing? Remember the guy who says he kind of rests on the chest bone of Jesus, that closeness, the disciple that Jesus loved. John writes about the emotional state of Jesus. The others don't. They don't pick up the agony of Jesus until he's in the garden. Remember the great drops of blood, the anxiousness, "Oh, Father, if there's any way possible, let this cup pass from me." But not so. We're days, 6 days exact from Jesus going to the cross. That's where we're at right here, that historical element. It's important for us to see what is going on. So as we see and address this, what would be some of the areas? Well, why would he be so troubled in anguish? Well, physically, He recognized in just a matter of a few short days, he knew all his life, but now it's coming. He's going to have whip laid out his back, open it up, or the crown of thorns placed upon his head. Can you see that crown of thorns up there? Look at the size of the spikes that are on top of that, driven on his head, or the nails in his hands or feet. I'm sure growing up, anytime he were to reach for something and see his hands, he would be reminded one day nails are going to pierce that hand. Maybe it's that anguish. There could be the other area when all of a sudden just the sin of the world's dumped upon him. The sin and the guilt that comes with sin. Have you ever felt that? It's indicative of sin. Man, whatever tricks you into sinning against God's direction for your life always follows guilt. It's amazing how that is, isn't it? You just feel so condemned and so guilty. That's what sin does to people. But Jesus was going to feel that guilt. He's going to feel that area, not just sin, but feeling the guilt. So when we take a look at that, we recognize that Jesus addressed how his soul was overwhelmed in Mark chapter 13, verse 34, with exceedingly sorrow, even to the point of death. Remember when he's in the garden, he says that? Wow. I don't know if you've ever been that, not just the pressure of the sin, but also the anguish, the guilt, when he's on the cross. Maybe that's it. I think it really is the separation he's about to experience from his Father. That area when the sin, your sin, my sin, comes upon Jesus, when he is separated from perfect fellowship with his Father. They always did things together. They always reasoned things together. The reality of the pain, the real trouble, the real anguish because he's going to be separated. And that happens. Remember when we talked about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21, it says, he who knew no sin became sin for us. Boom. And it was at that time that Jesus yelled out, my God, my God. Why have you forsaken me? He never called his Father God. It was always my Father this, Abba that. But in the darkness of Calvary's cross, when your sin and guilt was laid on him, the Father, who is of a pure eye, had to turn. And there was a separation. I don't know if you've ever experienced that anguish before. Somebody that's close to you, that you love, maybe even a pet. You know, when people lose their pets because the pet ages out, there's still such heartache and sorrow, separation. That's a little sample of what Jesus is experiencing. You have a little bit of an understanding what's going on. How about letter B, the glory of it? Let's look at verse 27 again, back at John 12, 27. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. That's an amazing declaration. Now, why would he say, save me from this hour? It's a rhetorical question. It really is. Because when he's being arrested in the garden, and his disciples are having a little bit of a stance to him, he tells Peter, put it away. Don't you know I could call down 12 legions of angels and deliver myself. So he says, he's asking, save me from this hour. But he says, for this purpose. For this purpose he came for you. That's an important declaration. There's a little bit of a struggle going on. I kind of like calling it a mid-career crisis. You're just like, you know, I'm all in. And now it gets a little hot. I'm not too sure now. Sometimes we find some of the best, devoted, dedicated Christians, can we count on? Sure, the day of, I don't know. So we see here, something's happened, and Jesus starts to talk about this. This voice, verse 28 says, then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sakes. Now, it's interesting to note here what Jesus is trying to say. It's a beautiful thing about God, so merciful. That what Jesus is saying, this voice came because of you. In other words, he's going to tell even his disciples, listen, this was all planned out. This was in our plans, what's about to happen. Revelation 13, that's where the book says that he's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Hey, we're going through with this because we planned it before we created everything. We knew we would need to come on in and rescue people like you in this room and you who are watching. So we take a look here. It's a part of the plan. I've come for this. That's what he's saying. This is the purpose. I came for this hour. Wow. That's big. The cross. This is it for you. So he's coming on in. The very center of the universe of God's plan is Calvary's cross. Here it is. Here it is. It's not just a symbol. It's a reminder, man, something happened big. No cross, no Calvary. You've got no forgiveness of sin. No forgiveness of sin, no salvation. No salvation, no hope. No hope. And no hope, there's no future. We have one destination then, and that's hell. Therefore, it's important for the glory. And that was Jesus' motivation. Verse 28, Father, glorify your name. Why, isn't that? That's an amazing statement. I don't know if you ever went through the drudges of life, right? We just like, Lord, I'm coming because I just need you to set me free and help me here again. Have we ever thought about, man, just, Lord, be glorified in this. Wow. Because we're going to hit the snags one more time. Stuff's going to hit the fans and blow to smithereens. And then we're going to go from one deliverance to one deliverance. How about, Father, glorify yourself in all this? Ooh-wee. That's the motivation of Jesus going for it. For this purpose, what? I'm going to glorify God. Ooh. How about it? How about it? Can you imagine? What are you going through? Have you dug deep and said, man, I'm going in for the glory of God. I hate it. It's uncomfortable. Doesn't feel right. But God somehow get glory out of this. For the Father to be glorified, what stoked his little enthusiasm is that now he could invite people into his forever family. He invited you. He invited you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame and suffering. You're that joy. You're that joy. He went to it. And he says, I'm doing it. One day they might hear the message at Hope Chapel or the pier, and they're going to say, I want in. I want in. So I want to just highlight for a moment. It's amazing. From anxiety to anticipation, you can imagine. Have you ever been there? We're doing good today, not so good. We're doing great today, not so good. And then a voice comes. Now, there's three times in Scripture a voice from heaven comes and people hear it. Let me just remind you of that. The first one, remember Jesus' baptism. Voice came from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John, they get to go up on this Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus gets the glory on. Boom. I mean, it's looking good. And Pete says, hey, you know what? Let's get some condos built here. This looks great. We'll settle on in. And a voice comes again. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. Hear him. And then the third is right here. Here it is. We're checking out the third time a voice from heaven comes. Now, why is that? Because you and I, I'm just reading it. Listen, I can't tell you the amount of times I've had people say, yeah, if God really wants me to do whatever, you think he'd speak to me from heaven? He did. Here it is. Here it is. It's even recorded in case you kind of like the maybe surfer's ears in there or something. I don't know. Check it out. The voice, verse 28, came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and glorified it again. Why? Jesus said so clearly. Look, he said, This voice came not because of me. This came because of you, for your sakes, that you would know what you're facing and seeing and understanding, that this is the authenticated, I'm going to just have a tongue-tie twist here, authenticate the true Jesus right here. This is it. This is the guy. The voice from heaven. God spoke. It's an amazing team. It's amazing when we see here. Number two, the cross and the world. Let's look at verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. Letter A, take a look at that. The world is judged by it. Look what Jesus says here. Now is the judgment of this world. It's an amazing thing because what we see here, when we say world, what are you talking about? The created elements of plant life and animal life? No. It's the rebellious system that is anti-God, anti-Christ. That's the system. That the scripture is very clear. It's under the control of evil, satanic elements. It's very real. Some of you faced off with stuff like that. Some of you have been in other nations when you realize, hey, something is in this neighborhood that is not whole and healthy. It's very real. And that world is judged by it. It's interesting because when they condemned Jesus, crucify him. Remember the offer of crucify him. Pilate says, hey, what shall I do with Jesus? Crucify him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8 says, had the rulers of this world understood about what they were doing, they would have never have crucified the Lord of glory. I think it's worth noting when Pilate had asked that question, the world is going to be judged by this question. What shall we do with Jesus? That's it. That's pretty much it. Pilate is the one that says, well, I condemn you to death. One day, maybe it's already happened, Pilate and Jesus are going to meet and the roles will be reversed. And Jesus will be the judge and say, you had a chance. You had a chance. And now I'm the judge, Pilate. Like the story of a young man who went into a megapolis of a city, wasn't too sure how the ebb and flow of the traffic flowed, so he stepped out into the crosswalk, and the traffic was coming right at him, ready to nail him. An elderly man grabbed the back of his shirt, pulled him back to the curb, saved his life. 2 weeks later, that same man, young man, is now in court because he was indicted upon thievery. And he noticed the judge. He says, boy, you look familiar. Hey, you are the guy who saved me 2 weeks ago. Can we swing a deal here? And the judge says, listen, young man, 2 weeks ago I was your savior. Today I'm your judge. It's the way it is with Jesus. The time is now. What are you going to do with Jesus? Jesus will ask you that question. What did you do with my sacrifice on the cross? We take a look. So important. Letter B, the world's ruler is cast out by it. Here we go again. Verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. This is the beginning of the end for the devil. That's what Jesus is referencing. When we look here, it's interesting to note because there really probably is biblically, five casting outs of the devil. The first one is where we have, he was at one time a cherubim. Scripture says in Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, you can write that down and recall that, where it kind of went to his head, his beauty, his ability to worship. Must have had some beautiful pipes because it talked about maybe when he spoke, like a melodious sound came out, went to his head. And God said, listen, can't have it, and cast him out to earth. Second casting out, here we are. We're right here at this point, right here. Now is the ruler of this world cast out. Third area is when the tribulation period hits and Revelation says he's going to be cast down again. You say, well, why is he keeps getting cast out? For whatever the reason, the devil has access into the earshot of God. Job's an example. Devil comes in to God and says, hey, and God says, have you noticed my servant Job? Isn't he an upstanding dude? That dialogue. We cannot figure that out, but he gets kicked out into the tribulation period. And then again, when the 1,000-year millennial rule and reign, he's going to be kicked out a fourth time. And then the fifth and final time, Revelations 20, he's going to be cast down into the lake of fire. That's his final destination, Scripture says. No more. He's not coming out. That lake of fire is intended for the devil and the fallen angels now called demons. Never intended for people, but people will be there. Because they did not choose Jesus. What are you going to do with Jesus? There's only one way to glory, and that's through the cross. Letter C, the world's people can be saved by it. I like that. Look at verse 32. And I, if I'm lifted up from the earth, all will be draw all people to myself. This, verse 33, he said, signifying by what death he would die. It's interesting because sometimes we'll say, let's just lift Jesus higher and everybody's going to recognize him and draw to him. But he's seen right here in Scripture, he was describing what death, signifying what death. He's going to be crucified. So when we address this, it's very similar when he was even telling Nicodemus. Remember his conversation with him at night? And Nicodemus was asking about what this thing about being born again is all about in John 3, 14. He says, like Moses lifted the serpent up in the wilderness, and he was citing Numbers 21, Numbers chapter 21. What was happening in Numbers 21? Well, the nation of Israel went back to their normal human reaction. They just started complaining. They didn't like their life. They didn't like where they were at. They didn't like the food. They were complaining, and God was fed up, and he allowed serpents to come on into the camp. People got bit, and they died. They realized, maybe we're doing something wrong here. God says, okay, then Moses, make a brass pole, make a brass serpent that symbolizes those serpents. When people get bit, then make their way to that pole. They look at it, they'll live. Now, that's important for us because what we see so clearly is that's the same way. The person got bit by a serpent, they'd have to recognize they've sinned, and go look at that pole and acknowledge by faith, that's where my cure is. You've seen that symbol. Many medical institutions still use that pole with a serpent wrapped around it. It's a symbol of here's where you're going to find your cure, medicine. So it's the same here. Jesus said, like Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, but now he says the Son of Man must be lifted up. If I am lifted up, verse 32 of John 12, I will draw all people to myself. So when we look here, it's amazing. I find it fascinating that still, for people, it's still easier, it seems, that people want to work their way to heaven. They really don't want to just like simply just acknowledge they've sinned and look to the cross in faith saying, there's my cure. People would rather say, I'm going to do good enough. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to do good things, and I will make it to heaven. You know, it's easier for people that way. They'll just miss heaven. You will miss heaven. If there's any other way to make it to heaven, then Jesus would not have had to come and die. He did that for you, and he did that for me. So I like the area where we get a chance just to believe. Number three, the cross and the crowd. Isn't it wonderful? Well, I welcome our worship team up. We look here at verse 34, and it says, and the people answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? And Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of the light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Let's just add verse 37. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe, can you see that, in him. So there's something, sometimes people just don't get it. Letter A, they're confused by hearsay. We start off in verse 34, then the people answered, we have heard. Have you had others tell you how to do church and what it should be like about religion? And, you know, well, our family always did it this way, and I know I need to do that. Man, that's hearsay. People can be confused. The culture around the cross is very direct. So you can see very clearly, aren't we glad today, remind ourselves about the cross? Man, that's where it's at. That's the action forevermore. So it's important. So they were just citing somehow the Messiah is going to be our great deliverer. They just missed about the suffering servant. They overlooked the Isaiah 53 chapter, the Psalm 22 depiction of a person being crucified. They just, that wasn't in their view. And then finally, be confirmed by Jesus. Isn't it interesting? Not only does it say, hey, this voice came for your sakes, but he said, hey, this is where it is. Man, I'm here with you. The light's here with you. It's all me. I won't be here much longer, but I'm it. I'm it. You choose me, choose light, and you choose life. Well, I want to take this moment. Let's go ahead and pray right now. Shall we do that? What a great morning. What a great way to start things off. Father, we just want to thank you. We just want to thank you because as we take a look at the scriptures that describe the history, it does involve us. You did this for us. You did these things for us, for the joy set before you. Thank you for enduring those things. And if you're here, I'm going to encourage all of you, you who are watching as well, let's pray this prayer of recommitment, or maybe for some, first time. That declaration that it's just not a one and done, but Lord, I need you always. This prayer goes like this. Let's pray it out loud. Dear Jesus, I acknowledge today my need for you. And I thank you, dear Jesus, for the cross and the power of the cross in anticipation of my resurrection into eternal life. And this day, I accept you, Lord, and what you have done for me. Be glorified, Lord, in my life, in all extremes, when it's good, when it's not so good, be glorified. May your life now be used to bring glory to the Father. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. Let's sing this song, shall we? What a way to wrap things up. What a way to start our Holy Week.
Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Hallelujah.
Let's just thank the Lord. Man, are we rich people. Well, friends, I want to thank you for coming to Hope Chapel, and thank you for watching as well online. And I want to invite you and welcome you back. This coming Good Friday is going to be outstanding. What's happening in the afternoon, Sandy? Saturday is fantastic. And just to let you know, at the pier side, we throw out and give away hundreds of donuts, all free. Hot chocolate and coffee. If you just think I'm not awake at that time, we will power you up. And so, and just to let you know too, we have free parking. The city just loves you, loves us. So there's free parking on the city side. I usually enter in through 6th Street, and that's till 11 o'clock, okay? So come and enjoy that. I think you're going to be quite shocked at how people are just hungry for the Lord and desirous to enjoy the beauty of our city right there at the waterfront. And finally, thank you. You who are fresh and new to Hope Chapel, who are new in the Lord, who are new to this place, come be with us for our meet and greet at 12:30. And just right there as you go out, you'll see us. Light lunch. We really want to get better acquainted. Or maybe you're just here saying, what's everything happening? What's it like? I'd love to give a quick tour of everything. We'll be done at 1:15. With that in mind, let me pray off a blessing, okay? Father, we thank you for the joy that you bring to us. Not just the joy that is upon you, but the very personality, the very nature of God coming and allowing us once again to realize we're not just someone else. We are highly loved by God. We are increasingly confident that you're caring for us and that, Lord, all the way into heaven. So, Lord, what you have begun in each one of us, for some, maybe the very first time, you're going to see to its completion till that day of Jesus Christ. Bless everybody. Let them have a great week, all for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everyone. We do have altar prayer. If you need prayer, our life group leaders are here. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.